My husband and I are going to couples counseling, and the counselor is working with my husband to try and determine what was the root cause of the infidelity. What emotions, feelings were happening, and what did these women do that allowed him to cross the line and be in what he called the zone, where he thought of nothing else. In our discussion, I brought up two different women. I know these women. My husband had affairs with, and these were very needy women and had issues with their marriages. And I'm a very strong, confident woman. My husband talked about how he always wanted to help people, the oldest of four, coaching our son's team, etc. That is his nature, to help people, and that is how he is made. The counselor alluded to the fact that my husband's issues, one reason for the affair, could be that he has a codependency issue, and that may be some of what he has an issue with. What are your thoughts on codependency and impact it has on infidelity? After two affairs, I'm just fearful if he doesn't figure this out, it will happen again. Becky, again, in terms of relapse prevention, the best thing I know, honestly, is the Hope for Healing group. I don't know if he's taking that, because we talk a lot about codependency in the Hope for Healing group, for both the men and the women. Codependency, interestingly enough, I always try to look at what is the, not what is codependency, but what is real. You know, actually what is real is, I think, 1 Corinthians 13. It's love. Codependency to me is really kind of a counterfeit love. It is an inverted narcissism, where it's still all about me and being able to feel special as a result of, or maybe desperate. It's still about how other people see me and are responding to me. And it's how hard I work to get others to respond back to me in that inverted narcissism. But still, it's 100% about me and not really about them. Love is others focused. Codependency is me focused. Even a performer can be codependent. Let me give you an example. My daughter had extreme performance anxiety, and she was a commercial music major when she was in college. So she was going to be a studio musician, a performer. Well, performance anxiety isn't really a very good thing for somebody who's making a career of performing. So we had sent her to a psychologist, and we had sent her to, we tried to find any place that ultimately would be able to help her, but pretty much to no avail. And finally, the person that cured her was her voice teacher right before her junior recital. And here's what she did. Right before Megan went out, and she knew all about Megan's performance anxiety, she looked her right in the face and said, "You know what, Megan? You are disgusting. You know, you are probably one of the most self-centered, selfish, inconsiderate people I have ever met." Now, my daughter was a people pleaser to the max. And so she was just absolutely shocked. And her teacher said it quite vehemently. And here's what she followed up with. She said, "You're always so concerned about what other people think about you. You are completely self-centered. You never consider the message that God has for you to deliver to other people. You're only concerned about how they're responding to you. You know, you do things not for their sake. You do things to get something back from them. You're trying to suck, you know, the affirmation and validation from them. You're not really concerned for them. You're just totally self-centered, and that's disgusting to me." And she began to realize that, you know, her teacher was right. There was a codependent relationship she had with the audience. Rather than caring about the audience and trying to deliver the message that God was giving her to deliver to them, instead, she was trying to suck something from them. She was just thinking about what they were thinking about her. And even if I'm thinking about other people, if I'm thinking about what they're thinking about me, I'm still 100% totally self-centered. And that's ultimately codependency. It looks good because we give, but the motivation is to get. So when somebody's desperate for validation and they're codependent, what they'll do is they'll try to find needy people to help. But they're not really loving the other people. Now, the other people think they're loving them, but they're not really loving them. What they're really doing is they're using them to get what I call their narcissistic supply. They're using them, that kind of that self-centered supply. They're using them to get that validation and affirmation they need, ultimately, to be happy. So somebody who's codependent is always vulnerable to an affair if they lean that direction, if that's kind of their bent, because they're going to be looking for people who are a vanity mirror, who reflect, who give them affirmation. And if you're a strong, confident woman, as you mentioned in this question, that may not be something he gets from you necessarily, because you, on the other hand, instead of, I think, you know, reflecting appreciation, for instance, you may not feel like you need to appreciate him that much, simply because you do it yourself. He may not do that much for you in that sense. So hopefully he'll begin to understand what true love is. And if he can begin to really love people, then ultimately he won't be vulnerable in the same way. Something you may be able to work at is making sure also that you love him well. And I hope he can learn to love you well. But all of this stuff is really talked about at length in the Hope for Healing course, so that would be something I would say would be useful for him if he hasn't done that yet. So that concludes, I believe, all of our questions for the day. I want to thank everybody for joining the call, and I look forward to talking to you in a few weeks. God bless.